Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Control 603-283-6160. That's the phone number to call with whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever you want to talk about, or comment on what we're talking about. It doesn't matter. It's up to you. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Matt,
and Nikki.
And I just wanted to thank Prometheus, who is a silver-level amplifier. Being an amplifier means that he gives us money every month to amplify, market, and promote the show. I forgot what the S stands for right now.
Support.
Support. They added the S. So if you want to do that, if you're interested in helping like Prometheus, go to Free Talk Live, or AMPS, A-M-P-S, amps.freetalklive.com. Thank you, Prometheus. Nikki had a story about parents hitting their kids.
Mm-hmm. So a few weeks ago on the Sunday night show, we were talking about circumcision. And I'm not going to, you know, say that every person on this show would say that circumcision is child abuse. But Captain and I definitely were coming to that conclusion.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising that I also think that spanking your children is also child abuse. So I want to talk about this. Because apparently 81% of people still agree with spanking. You know, you hear a lot of the, "Ooh, I was spanked when I was a kid and I turned out fine." Okay, well, clearly you didn't because you're still hitting children and most people have severe mental and emotional trauma and, you know, all sorts of things.
Some friend said to me recently, like, "Sometimes you just gotta hit your kid," and I was like, "You just gotta hit him," or something like that. And I was like,
You know what it is? Okay, so parents spank their children not to teach the child a lesson, it's lazy parenting. It's because
they're getting their frustration out.
Exactly. So like it's a physical outlet. It's like the parent hasn't done the emotional and mental work to actually be a parent, and you know, they don't have their own emotional regulation skills. And instead of having a conversation with their child or finding another civilized form of discipline or some way to turn this into a learning experience, they hit their children. And then, you know, it escalates from there. Like, some parents only hit their children every once in a while to, you know, for discipline, whatever. You know, you did something really bad and you get spanked. But it kind of, it's like, where do you draw the line, right? Like, to me, like, then you have parents that spank their children, like, all the time, and then it turns into, like, very obvious child abuse. So I think that's it's just lazy parenting, and it's just people that haven't developed those emotional regulation skills. But this article is from the Jai Institute for Parenting, and the article says, spanking is associated with a myriad of serious potential risks, not the least of which include developmental delays, harm to the brain, and embodied trauma. Although 81% of Americans approve of spanking as an appropriate method of discipline for children, the far-reaching effects of spanking are both alarming and problematic. So what's going on? Why is spanking a go-to to addressing kids' behavior in the first place? And if it's so bad, why is no one talking about it? First, some empathy. If you're a parent, you know firsthand that parenting is just plain hard sometimes. Even the most gentle, peaceful parent can have days or weeks where they want to throw in the proverbial towel. We know that kid's behavior, be it toddler tantrums, parenting an angry child, or anything else the child brings to the relationship, can be incredibly triggering. Not to mention, we have to manage whatever our own stuff we might be dealing with, especially if we're exhausted or otherwise low on the emotional resources. We want our kids to make our lives easier, not harder. I don't know who would ever think a child would make your life easier, because they wouldn't.
I absolutely agree, and I do feel bad for parents when I see a kid throwing a tantrum in a store. Obviously, my first reaction is to be annoyed. But yeah. I try to put myself in their position, because it's like you can't control it. It's like a storm. Yeah. You can't just make your kid never have a tantrum. It doesn't mean you're a bad kid if you have a temper tantrum at three.
Yeah. And I think to a certain extent, like the tantrums could be like age appropriate or developmentally appropriate. But I also think we're seeing a lot more tantrums because of screen time. Mm-hmm. And there have been, other studies that have shown that screen time and like the bright flashing colors, and same things with toys that have bright flashing colors.
Too.
Yeah. You know, I know a lot of people who cannot give their children artificial dyes, you know, things like Skittles, M&Ms, whatever, because their child, it like triggers like ADHD like symptoms, extreme anger, really, you know, so they're seeing a lot of like emotional dysregulation, and they can notice it immediately. If they send, you know, their kid with grandma and the kid comes back and they're like, what did you feed them? Oh, you fed them this juice, but it has the artificial dye in it. And parents can, if they have eliminated this from their kid's diet, they can pick it up instantly, and they, you know, and it's not just in their head. I mean, the child, I even know children that are like, I can't eat that because I don't feel good when I eat that. So it's definitely a real thing. And I think even more so is the screen time, because I think a certain level of screen time and certain things for older children is not bad. But I think we're seeing again with the lazy parenting, where parents are just way, you know, you got both of the parents, maybe even a single mom or a single dad, working full-time jobs, maybe working two jobs, and then they're trying to come home and parent their kids and do bath time and dinner and all bedtime and all this stuff, and there's just no way for people to exist in this way. So you put your kids in front of the TV, or you give your kid the phone or the tablet, and it makes your life a heck of a lot easier. And some of the stuff is educational. It seems like it might be a good thing. But the bright flashing colors, the, you know, rapidly switching from scene to scene and, you know, from picture to picture, that young children's brains are not supposed to be seeing that.
Neither are adult brains.
Probably not. And that's why, you know, TikTok's a huge thing, right?
No, it's awful.
So, you know, people don't have the attention span anymore. And I think
it's a dopamine hit after a dopamine hit after a dopamine hit. It's a drug addict. It's a drug addiction.
Yeah.
It's just a dopamine addiction.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's sensational and whatever, you know, all these things. And that's why people get addicted to TV. But I think it's even more harmful with the young brains. I mean, like, we're seeing, like, babies looking at phones.
Because their brains are just not going to be able to be wired correctly anymore.
No.
They've learned to be wired incorrectly.
No, and, yeah, they're supposed to be, like, looking at real things. Like, they're supposed to be looking at siblings and mom and dad and, you know, like, especially like a young baby, I mean, you can place them under a tree or your face up, place them just outside, and they'll look up at the clouds and the tree and the leaves, and that will be plenty entertaining for them. So their brains, I don't want to call them primitive, because I do think, you know, babies do have a certain wisdom to them, but they don't need all like the bright flashing, you know, crazy cartoons. I think that is really doing children a disservice, and I think that's why we're seeing so much of those tantrums. And, you know, you talk about the terrible twos, but that's kind of creeping into, like, three-year-olds, four-year-olds, five-year-olds, where, like, all, like, that period is becoming really, really difficult for children. And I think it has a lot to do with, like, the crap they're putting in foods and, you know, in the screen time. So I'll go back to the article. So first they say, you know, well, we're going from the part where they're saying we want our kids to make our lives easier, not harder. And nobody would ever think that. That desire for things to be easy is completely normal. However, while spanking kids might seem to get us the behavior we desire, the effects of spanking simply aren't worth it. There is another way. Believe it or not, with practice, the other way usually becomes much easier than spanking. Even better, it produces much better results for both parent and child. Well, of course for child, because they're not being abused. Consider these reasons parents spank and their counterpoints. Parents spank for many reasons. Some parents learned to spank from their family of origin.
Yep, I think about that a lot. It's like, oh, it's fine because my parents spanked me.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, oh, well, you know, I was spanked and I turned out fine. And then the other point that people like to bring up is like, well, that's why everybody's so soft nowadays. That's why we have all these snowflakes. Because these kids aren't hit enough. And I just don't.
Yeah, there's so many times when there's a bad kid that somebody around me will say that kid's bad because that kid doesn't get hit enough. That's just not the case, I don't think. And
no.
It doesn't make good kids to be hit. We were only spanked once in a very blue moon. Like, if we did really something bad, I think I only got spanked like twice in my entire life. And people are always commenting that me and my siblings were just, like, exceptionally good.
But you guys were also homeschooled, right?
Yeah.
And you probably had a very involved mother.
Yeah, and we weren't vaccinated, most of us.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's another thing. I think the vaccines also...
Brain melt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, consider, our history doesn't need to be our destiny. There's a path forward. Some parents may misunderstand child development and appropriate discipline methods to match that development. Consider, resources are available to support adults in learning about what children need at various stages. And I think that's another huge issue that people, I saw somebody on the internet the other day, if you need to read a parenting book, you're an idiot. It's common sense. Well, not really. I mean, if you were doing anything, you would maybe want to read a book on it and learn a little bit about it before you're going to do it. I mean, you're raising this human being. I mean, even just like medical stuff. I mean, like having a newborn. I mean, like even just all of the questions that might arise, like, is this normal? Is that normal? I mean, it's a totally new thing. And then when they get older and you have to essentially raise this human being and teach them everything they're going to know, that is a huge responsibility. Yeah. Why wouldn't you want to take some sort of class? Or, like, read a few books on that.
There's the peaceful parenting contingent in the Liberty community is pretty big.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of people you can reach out to and ask them about. I mean,
Google it. Like, it's 2023.
I know John Bush was huge on that. And
he has a whole homeschooling curriculum that he does with
Ron
Paul.
That's right. Free plug for John. No, that's Tom Woods. Tom Woods and Ron Paul. The Ron Paul curriculum.
Really?
Yeah, but John Bush has a thing going on, too.
I think he also...
building and separate, or build in...
Well, I get his emails for the homeschool thing, so maybe I was confused about that.
Maybe he's a part of the Ron Paul thing now, but...
No, I don't think... It was just from John Bush. It didn't have anything to do with Ron Paul.
Yeah, his
is
called,
confused.
Build it, separate and build, or something like that. I don't think it's the word separate, but something like that. But, yeah, anything you want to do, you should... gain as much knowledge about it as possible before doing it, so I don't see why anyone would say that. Today, my friends were laughing at me because I didn't know if the baby takes weeks to open her eyes, or because she just had her eyes closed the entire time I was holding her for like an hour.
Yeah.
I was like, do they open their eyes immediately? And they were like, oh yeah, she opens her eyes all the time. Like when she's really annoyed, if you move around too fast, then she'll open her eyes. But they were laughing at me because they were like, well, she's not a puppy.
Well, you know? I mean...
So I didn't even know that till today, really.
Like if you have never interacted with, like, a newborn, like a brand new baby, how would you know that?
Yeah, so.
You know, and there's so many little things like that you don't even consider. People are always, like, shocked that babies have fingernails.
Oh, wow.
You don't think about their fingernails, and they do. They have really long fingernails because they're growing in utero the whole time. But it's just, like, little things like that where it's like, yeah, you know, you're not going to be, like, you know, a bad parent if you don't know that your kid's coming out with fingernails. But it's just little stuff like that. It's like you don't learn about that until you're a parent. And, like, certain things, like with childcare, it's like, yeah, or even, like, psychology and, you know, child development. Like, you should...
Everything
you should research that before having a kid, because who knows, you might hate kids, and you might think this whole thing is dumb, but, like, you should probably look into it first.
I mean, learning everything, yeah, I don't know how you could just think it's common sense to just know everything about another human being that you've never met before and taking care of them.
It was also, like, a very clearly, like, ghetto trashy person that was it was, like, a comment on, like, a random Facebook thread, so it, like, wasn't anyone of, like, intelligence saying that, because no one of intelligence would ever say that learning something is bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, learning is good. It's okay. It's okay to want to master something and to learn something.
Facebook is the ghetto of the internet.
Oh, absolutely. So what are the effects of spanking if so many people are doing it? Can it really be that harmful? Unintended effects of spanking. It slows development. Children grow best, developmentally and otherwise, when they feel safe to do so. Children who feel emotionally safe don't have to expend energy on self-protection. So Maslow's hierarchy of self, right? Like basic psychology. Among the effects of spanking, however, are children who suffer or fear suffer the fear of being hit, smacked, swatted, or any other terms adults use to mean spanking.
Switch.
Yeah.
Give me a switch.
This fear is in direct opposition to children's growth. In fact, it is a strong force against it. The effects of spanking resultantly are that the child's IQ in development slow to a lower rate than a child would otherwise experience, which kind of makes sense because, yeah, like if you go back to like Maslow's hierarchy of self, like if you don't feel safe, how are you going to
explore?
Yeah, how are you going to learn if you don't feel safe?
Not evidence, but like proof that cells don't do as well in your body if you're stressed. Because it's the same
absolutely.
As like Dr. Bruce Lipton compares it to a cell is its own little city. Mm-hmm. And if the city is like just waiting for any day for war to break out, they will be less productive. The economy is going to be less robust. It's the same thing in the cell that's waiting for disaster.
Yeah, no, that's a great way to put it. And it's like our body is composed of a bunch of cells and those, you know, create tissues and then organs and then an entire organism, right? So, I mean, it's no different. Like if you break it down to the cellular level, like, yeah, I mean, that's absolutely going to affect
and a baby
everything about
out,
us.
Or a kid even that's stressed out thinking, like sometimes my mom used to say, go pick me a switch as a, not a joke, but like a... She would never actually hit us with a freaking long vine.
Yeah.
That's what that is. But she would say that to scare you.
Yeah.
So maybe that was developmentally bad. I don't know. Because if you're just, like, afraid, is she going to really do it? Or, like, go get me my wooden spoon. But
yeah.
She never
The wooden spoon was big in my house.
Yeah.
Never once got swung, but...
Just got threatened, right.
It was more of a meme than anything, but she would do it with a big smile on her face, like, I got the wooden spoon!
Right, and my dad would... This was just, like, totally a joke. My dad would take a belt and make a slapping noise with it.
Yeah.
But that was actually just a joke. Like, I don't even think he would make a joke that if we were bad, that he would hit us with belt, but he wouldn't actually do that.
Yeah. And I think stuff like that, I mean, whether that's going to, like, you know, developmentally, you know, delay a child, I don't know if that would really do anything.
I am extremely screwed up from that.
From the spoon?
No. No, not at all. I was kidding.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, I think when your parents make those empty threats, it kind of, like, does become a joke.
Yeah.
And it's, like, after a while, it's, like, you know, by the time you're, like, 7 years old, you're, like, oh, all right, he's doing the belt thing again.
Right.
Like, you know. But it does, it sends a message, like, okay, they don't like what I'm doing, like, whatever.
But if your parents actually do spank you, and you're just waiting for the next time you get hit by your mom, then I can see it shutting down your system.
Yeah, so you're, like, constantly in that fight or flight mode.
And, like, just, your brain becoming more intelligent, so whatever mechanism that is that causes you to have a high IQ, I can see that being lower on the level of things your body needs to get done, like it's working on digestion and everything
absolutely.
Else. So it's going to, you know, disregard that for a while because it's in a stressed position.
Well, and, like, stress affects, like, everything. So it's like, yeah, it affects your ability to retain information. It affects your immune system. It affects so many things. So, like, health, intelligence, everything. So some parents argue that spanking only when their child is very young or only when the parent is no longer angry is an acceptable way to use the corporal punishment. Science disproves that. There's no situation ever when spanking doesn't provide far more negative and damaging consequences than the sometimes perceived win of changed behavior. Delayed development doesn't make exceptions for when the adult argues that the spanking was fine. Unintended effects of spanking. It harms the brain. The effects of spanking include a decline in children's mental health. Their brain literally can't function as well as it otherwise would. A child's subconscious simply can't comprehend that the same adult who loves them would physically harm them.
Which doesn't make any sense at all.
No. And I use this example all the time because people always try to defend spanking. I'm like, if I smacked Matt in the face, you'd be like, that's abuse. Like, you can't do that. That's ridiculous. He's an adult. Oh, my gosh, he's an adult.
So he was doing what Nikki didn't want him to do.
Yeah, so I'm just disciplining him.
Yeah.
So I can't hit this grown man, but I can hit a little child? Make it make sense.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't. And it's like, okay, so it's just okay because you're targeting someone that's weaker than you? Oh, because you own them? Because you're their parent? All of these philosophies are completely disgusting. And it's just surprising because you will get libertarian-leaning people, people who believe in peace and freedom, allegedly,
and
who
all
are defending
kick the
this.
Baby.
Yeah,
it's like, what? So I can't hit you. Like, it's like, you understand war is bad. You understand that, like, hitting other adults is bad, that violence is bad. Like, these people who believe in the non-aggression principle. But somehow spanking is different because it's, I just don't get it. I don't get how people can, like, do the mental gymnastics to...
It's where people learn bad social habits in the first place. Parents taking out stuff on them and whatever.
Yeah, I take notes over here for the after show stuff where I write about little segments of, or little subjects that we talked about on the show. And I wrote, 81% of people approve of beating kids.
Yeah, like, I mean, apparently. Yeah. So kids are literally wired to pursue connection with their trusted adults. We see it from the first moments of the child's life where they seek the warm embrace of their mother, searching for her eyes and her breast. As they grow, kids will continue to try to connect with her no matter what, even if it's damaging to their well-being. That is so sad. Needless to say, spanking isn't exclusive to mothers. The point is that children biologically and naturally crave their primary caregiver's love, no matter who it is. A child's mental health, damaged by spanking, is not easy to recover once the relationship has suffered. Even a decade later, a child who was spanked only as a toddler may still be suffering the repercussions. Furthermore, their behavior may actually deteriorate years later as a direct result of their prior corporal punishments.
You become cops.
Oh, yeah. What do you think? Do you want to come on Free Talk Live and defend hitting kids? Please do, because I would love to hear the other side of the story. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. So far, there's a few people throwing their hats in the ring to be Speaker of the House.
Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan and House Majority Leader Steve Scalise of Louisiana both launching their bids yesterday for the job, with Jordan saying he would not support aid for Ukraine.
I'm against that. The most pressing issue on Americans' minds is not Ukraine. It is the border situation, and it is crime on the streets.
I'm Corey Myers.
President Biden, despite his assertion that border walls are ineffective, has given the green light for additional border wall construction in southern Texas.
I tried to get them to reappropriate, to redirect that money. They wouldn't. And in the meantime, there's nothing under the law other than they have to use the money for what it was appropriate. I can't stop that.
Morgan State University students remain on edge after Tuesday night's on-campus shooting in Baltimore. Five people were shot in the incident, including four students. No arrests have been made. Dave Collins, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and we actually have full phones right now. Not completely full, I guess, but a lot of people on the line right now. 603-283-6160. We still have room for you. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to get on the air with us. And in the studio with you tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Matt,
and Nikki.
And we are talking right now. Well, we were talking about spanking kids is not good for them. Did we finish that story, Nikki?
Just a little bit more.
Okay. Let's get into it after we talk to Law Dog from Michigan. Law Dog, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, how you doing? I checked to get those 6 things out there. So Ian got 8 years, huh?
Yep.
I think he will be pardoned before his appeals run out. What do you think, Bonnie?
Oh, you mean pardoned by Joe Biden?
Oh, not by that turd, no. somebody else will be in there. Because it's only 1 year to the 1 year to the election there, so it'd be January of 25. I think that would be, one of the first things they could do was pardon the Crypto Six.
It'd be nice.
I mean, that'd be cool. I don't really think that's going to happen. What makes you think that's going to happen?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. Somebody out there in Vegas, one of the houses at Vegas, should put a line on that. And we can bet. I bet you he's going to be pardoned by the time his appeals run out.
People keep asking me, what if we talk to Vivek Ramaswamy or some other presidential candidate? And honestly, I would rather Ian win his appeal than me have to feel like, oh, thanks Vivek Ramaswamy for the rest of my life. I'd way rather Ian just win the appeal.
Well, you don't even have to show any gratitude, you know. It doesn't cost you anything not to. But the thing about it is, it's just, you know, just wait, because it's a matter of principle. You're putting personalities and anger in front of this, and that's just not doing any good.
I think it would be really beneficial. I mean, yeah, that would be great if he was pardoned. I won't hold my breath, but I think that'd be wonderful. But it would also be very beneficial for this to go all the way, you know, through appeals. Most likely, if it's appealed, it will go to the Supreme Court. And I think that could help a lot of people.
Yeah.
If that turns out, and like if we do it that way, I think that would be a really good precedent.
Well, thank you for the call, Law Dog. I wanted to know why he thought that, but seemed that he was kind of just guessing as well. But let's move
on. Wishful thinking.
Yeah.
It's positive. Let's keep it there.
Yeah. Let's move on. We have David in New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Raw Dog. Yeah. Hey, Raw Dog. The pardons, Raw Dog, they usually come at the end when the president's a lame duck, and that's typically after 8 years.
Yeah, but Ian didn't shake Joe Biden's hand, and he gave him the hairy hand, so.
Yeah, there you go. Raw Dog. And talk radio, you control. All right. Hey, that spanking thing, Nikki.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's disgusting. Nobody should spank, slap, hit a child. Everybody knows the spanking is for wives and girlfriends or both.
Oh, my gosh.
Are you a cop now, David?
Huh?
Are you a cop now?
I ain't copping to nothing, man. I didn't do it.
Is there something that's actually on your mind tonight to talk about?
Yeah, talk radio. You control. So I'm calling to troll you.
Oh, you control.
Control.
He was saying that yesterday.
Ba-dum-bum.
Is that really all you had, David?
I got more than that, but that's, you might as well quit your head, huh?
Okay.
I think in the head. You probably think in the hand.
Thank you for the call, David. yeah, talk radio. You can troll.
Troll.
Yeah.
Well, they sure do.
So great. All right. Sarah in New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind, Sarah?
I just wanted to bring up this. I was just amazed at the New Beginnings Church. They sold their old building to the Maverick gas station. And then it turns out they their space is the old movie theater, and they winded up owning the whole shopping plaza, the whole
church?
Property. Yes, and so they're renting from the church. I saw two lease signs, and I'm just it just behooved me, because the church caters to like homeless. They have homeless. Their emphasis is giving food box. I mean, their congregation is pretty poor. I mean, I've been to that church. I didn't see any wealthy members. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, how does this be? You know,
I'm confused there. Do you think people become extremely rich by renting commercial space in this economy?
No. Before, it was just a regular church. There was no rental space. Now they winded up having a movie theater. They turned into a church, and they wind up buying there's 30 businesses. According to the whole property, they wind up owning that. I mean,
so what do you think they're doing with the revenue?
Well, they have four women's homes, and then they have four men's halfway homes, and then they have a place where they give out free food and clothes for the homeless. But the irony of it, most of the congregation that goes to the church are poor people that need help. That's what I'm bringing up. That's how ironic they winded up owning this whole property.
Yeah, I don't think maybe that's why. Because I know, yeah, I'm familiar with the church because of you calling in and talking about it. And it does seem like they're actually, you know, some churches definitely aren't good, and they're kind of money hungry. But this one, I mean, it does seem like they're doing, you know, quite a bit for the community, and I think that's awesome. So maybe since most of the people that are going to the church are low income, they probably don't have a lot of money to donate to these causes. I don't know how else they do, like outsourcing and funding and stuff like that. But maybe the rental properties, maybe that is funding all of these homeless shelters and food drives and whatever else they're doing to try to help the community.
Yeah, so my whole point is that, you know, God can work a miracle. You know, the way that our logical mind, that it only makes sense if all the congregation were wealthy, all the people, well, how could this church prosper as much as it does unless it's blessed? So it's irony, you know what I mean? Whatever we think that is, it doesn't make much sense to God. I mean, the God's ways of doing things and blessing and giving are completely contradictory to what we think is supposed to be. So
maybe Sarah thinks that this is a good thing that they own these rental properties.
No, that's what it seemed like. I mean, I think it's, I don't have any.
I thought she was saying it was bad. She said it behooved her.
I think she was just surprised, right?
Okay. Well, anyway,
yeah, it's a nice, nice way to think of it, you know, blessing from God, probably.
Well, Sarah, actually, I do have one question for you that's a little off topic from this church thing. What do you think about Ted Libre, the caller from last night, saying that we don't owe you a single penny or a single thing, not even a bus ride? What do you think about that, Sarah? He was talking about you.
Yeah, I think he was, why should we give him anything for free? You know, when he, you know, hits 62, he probably wants Social Security and Medicaid.
No.
If he has an accident or he could be, if he got hit by a car, he might be on disability. Why should we give him anything? It's always, everybody's taking something from you, but they never think that you're the one that's going to be needing help and getting, help from somebody else.
This was a guy, thank you for the call, Sarah, but this was a guy who called in last night saying people should stop paying taxes and stop supporting the government in any way. He's really upset about Ian Freeman getting taken to prison for 8 years. So I
kind of like just dance on that. He was like, this is our fault. I just love self-responsibility. So for him to be like, this is my fault. If you're paying taxes, this is partly your fault.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of like an aggressive way to put it, but I mean, he has a point.
Yeah.
You know, and I do like that aspect of like, yeah, like let's take some responsibility for the system that we're living in. You know what I mean? Like,
more people need to do it. I agree. Yeah. And then he closed his call with saying, we don't owe Sarah one thing.
Yeah, he had beef with Sarah for sure.
Not even a bus ride, he said. All right. Going back to Nikki's story, we're talking about people hitting their kids.
So, punishment isn't necessary. Surprise, surprise. But teaching is. Okay, so this is the title of the section. I skipped over that. Some parents wonder how to punish a child if they're not spanking them. And the answer might surprise you.
You yell at them really loud.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's not traumatizing at all.
I saw something about that today, too. That
yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Bad, but it's pretty obvious to me.
And it's not even just terrorizing. The yelling. Like, I remember, and I'm not saying that my parents were abusive. They totally weren't. But I remember as a child, and my sisters will say the same thing, too. My dad didn't yell. It was almost like he didn't even, like, almost care enough to yell. But he would talk in this real angry, low tone.
Hmm.
And it's like, you know, when Pa starts doing that.
That forced you to hear him because you couldn't ignore it because he's being quiet enough where you have to shut up
yeah.
and listen to every word.
Hmm.
Yeah, but, like, you knew he meant, but, like, you knew he was real peeved.
Yeah.
When he, you know, it's like, oh, when he starts talking like that, it's like, you better stop whatever you're doing or run or something, you know, and it, but, like, we still remember, I mean, I'm 25, my sisters are in their 30s, and, like, we all still remember, like, so there's certain things, like, even though it wasn't physical abuse, you remember it, and, like, I don't know what sort of trauma that gave me, maybe none, but I remember it, and that's kind of the point where it's like, even yelling at your kids, I mean, like, all of it's bad, and there has to be a better way. So, J Institute of Parenting, what is the better way? If you wonder, how will kids know they've done something wrong if they don't feel the pain of some sort of consequence? Further, you might wonder, do you mean that I should go from spanking to ... nothing? How is that going to work? Peaceful parenting is not permissive. Children do need boundaries. The difference lies in the connection-based relationship. Realistic consequences. Parenting without punishments. Many parenting support resources can offer you ideas about everything from empowered discipline methods to anger management strategies. Indeed, consequences do exist in gentle parenting, but not in the way that many parents realize. Be it for toddler discipline or working with an older child, the consequences applied in peaceful parenting have no long-term negative outcomes and are still highly effective teachers. Positive, empowered parenting requires a reframe from wanting children to behave because they're afraid of what might happen if they don't, to parenting them in a way that helps them naturally want to collaborate with their caregivers. It requires a shift from violence, which is anything that causes physical, emotional, or spiritual harm, to nonviolent communication strategies. Indeed, it is a major shift. It's also completely within your reach, no matter your history, and it's never too late. Some parents might wonder if a connection-based relationship where adults and children mutually want to do well for each other is even possible. I invite you to be open to the idea that it is possible. I also invite you to, with an open mind and an open heart, consider the possibilities of what that connection might feel like. Repair and recovery is always possible. The negative effects of spanking may be many-fold, but so are the positive effects of healing. And I love, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it here, but, like, I love that concept of, like, it doesn't need to be a punishment. I like reframing it into, like, teaching experiences. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this is an opportunity for learning and growth. And I think, like, the fear-based parenting, and, like, listen, this is how we, you know, have this world full of spineless statists, right? Because, like, from childhood, even their parents are teaching them, like, that the person that's essentially taking care of you is, you know, you need to fear them, and you need to obey them, and you question it. Well, why? Because I said so.
Yeah.
And that's the same crap that the government pulls on us. And those, you know, a lot of people think, like, oh, the government, they're here to protect us with the military. They're here to you know, feed us when we're poor and provide us health care.
And even though they do some really terrible, awful things, well, you can show me a million examples of them doing really terrible, awful things, but we need them. They need to be bad in order to keep people in line.
That's how people rationalize it. And it's the same. I mean, you can, like, even pull religion into this where, you know, you have the stories of God, like, smiting children and, like, drowning villages and whatever else happened in the Old Testament. You know, it's like, you know, the person or whatever, the deity, the entity that you're worshiping the most is, like, this evil guy that is
raining,
like,
sulfur on your wife.
Yeah, like,
turning your wife
what?
Into a pillar of salt.
So, I mean, that makes, like, the child abuse that some, you know, like, I mean, that makes it seem like pretty low level, you know, and then so yeah, I think it's just conditioned in us from a young age. And I don't think that's beneficial.
So,
at all.
I mean, when we have kids, I mean, what if we just skip the rototiller and just have our kid pull the plow? I mean, we got to teach him a work ethic somehow, right?
I mean, would that be
would that
I
be
don't
abusive?
Know what rototiller.
No. It's like a gardening tool. Yeah. It like tills the soil. I don't think that working is abuse.
All right, so they can pull a plow.
No, I think, like, my point is, like, don't yell at your kid. I mean, it's hard. I yell.
What about working a kid as punishment? Go stack wood.
I think there's a way to reframe that from punishment to learning experience. So I think, you know, whatever needs to be taught based on the action of the child that was undesirable, the learning, you know, the what happens next, like that learning experience, needs to be relative to, you know, so like if the kid breaks the TV, then it needs to be some, like, okay, well, then you're going to have to, like,
fix the TV or
either fix it or you're going to have to, like, yeah, work to pay it back. You know what I mean? Or, you know, I've heard, because this was actually a real scenario in a mom's group. And apparently the broken TV happens a lot, especially in homes of boys who like to throw, you know, things in the living room.
I accidentally threw a Wii remote at my dad's, like, not very old flat screen TV when I was, like, 12.
It happens.
And I wrote in my diary, I was like, I'm so afraid, like, I'm going to be in trouble when he gets home. But he wasn't mad. It was a legitimate accident.
Yeah.
I even had the bracelet on, but I didn't tighten it.
Yeah. See? So it happens. you know? But in the mom's group, like, people were, like, throwing out, because this lady was like, what do I do? This is, like, the third TV they've broken.
Wow.
And that one of the things was, well, you just don't have a TV anymore. If you want, like, keep one in your bedroom and lock your bedroom door. But, like, that's a natural consequence, right? If I go and get drunk and crash my car, bye-bye, car, yeah. I don't have it anymore. So, like, that's a natural real-life consequence of if you break something and it's destroyed, then you don't have one anymore. But if mom and dad just, like, great, I'm going to yell at you, I'm going to spank you, and then buy a new TV, that doesn't teach the kid anything at all. But maybe working for your parents, like, obviously most, like, young kids can't get a job, but it's, yeah, like, stacking wood, you know? It's like, okay, you're going to have to do some extra chores. I think that that is actually a productive learning experience.
What about, I had another question. Whenever the question was brought up in the article and they said, what is the better alternative to spanking and yelling at your kids? For some reason, it's just memory kind of popped in my head from when my little brother was like 4 and 3, and I always felt that it was wrong that I would do this, but I would. If he was doing something bad, I would kind of emotionally manipulate him. I would just be like, Jacob, that makes me sad when you do that, because he really loved me. Like, mm-hmm. He really liked me. And I would kind of emotionally manipulate him a lot, like, to go do something for me. Is that really bad, you think, for a punishment? Like, that makes me sad when you do that.
I mean, I've seen, so, like, this is kind of a different example, but, like, people do that with babies and, like, toddlers. So, like, if the kid bites you, you're just like, ow, that hurts. Mm. Like, or if the kid hits, it's like, no, like, that makes me sad when you, so I would think that, like, but unless it's a lie, you know.
Hmm. Sometimes it was a lie. Like,
yeah, like, if you're, like, manipulating him to do things, then, like, that's probably not good. But if he was doing something undesirable, like being, you know, something that would be perceived as bad, you're like, don't do that. Like, that makes me sad when you do that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's that bad. But I would also, like, he wanted to be a cop when he grew up because he watched Paw Patrol.
And you're like, that makes me sad.
Yeah, I was like, Jacob, the cops are bad. And he's like, no, they're not. They're not bad. And
Jacob,
you're
not too old to abort.
I would tell him, the cops hurt me. The cops came to my job and they hurt me because they got me in trouble, Jacob.
No, that is, like, totally a learning. Like, that is, yeah, like, that is, I think that's perfect. That is, like, a teaching experience.
And I changed his mind, but now
he
wants to be a lawyer.
That's better.
Better.
Does he want to be a defense attorney?
I don't think he knows about any of that stuff.
How? Yeah, is he, like, really young still? But anyways, so, no, I think that's fine. I think my biggest thing, especially when it comes to, like, the spanking, is, like, have a discussion. Maybe, you know, it's hard. It's hard to communicate with people, you know, like, language is weird. Like, it's hard to express your feelings. But I think, like, even if you say the wrong thing, like, even if you don't say the perfect thing to your kid, trying your best to, like, have a conversation and explain something to them. And, like, because even that's, like, a teaching experience enough. Like, if the kid does something that you don't like or is bad or is mean or whatever, if you, like, sit down with them and, like, try your best to explain it, that is worlds better than yelling at them or having some sort of, like, emotional outburst,
yeah,
or hitting them. I mean, so even if, like, you don't say the right thing, I mean, it can't be worse than hitting them.
And it's just good probably for the parent themselves, because I've never been a parent, but I've been a sibling. And my little sister who lives with us, lives with me now, she's only 4 years younger than me. But when at this time in our lives, when I was out of the house and she was still a high schooler, she would come to my house a lot. And I had such a bad temper. The federal government even sent me to anger management issues at this time for a different thing, nothing related to my family or siblings. It was because I cussed out a cop. And but I really did have, like, serious anger issues at the time.
Yeah.
And anything she did that was, like, a little bit annoying to me, we weren't really fighting because she's really passive and nice. I would just find myself in a horrible mood,
like, irritable
all the time.
And cranky.
I was so irritated with her all the time because she would just do things wrong and like, just mess things up. She'd be at my house a lot because we'd be hanging out a lot, like, after she got out of school. And then she, like, if I felt like that all day, like, I just had to realize that feeling like that all day was my problem. It wasn't that she is dumb and does everything wrong, and that it was hurting me. And
absolutely,
like,
because it doesn't feel good. Like, whenever I, because I know what you're talking about. Like, whenever I'm like cranky or whatever, like after, I feel really like stupid. Or at the very least, I don't feel good about it. I'm like, wow, you know, I like, yeah, it's not a good feeling to, because it kind of like takes the power away from yourself, right? Like, when you're like almost a victim of your emotions, that doesn't feel good. It's like, wow, like that feel, like it feels like a weakness.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, and I just feel like that's kind of how parents, some parents just walk around all day, you know, just angry at their kids and yelling at their kids, and you really are a victim of your emotions if you have to scream at your kids.
I had one parent who their child is grown now, like in their 20s, and they told me this story of they only ever hit their kid once, and the kid might have done something, you know, really bad, undesirable, whatever. And they gave them like a few spanks, and then at the third one, the kid was like, stop, 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 like begging, you know, like begging, like, please stop, please stop. And to this day, I mean, this person told me this story recently, that it's almost like, and the kid told me, like, they don't remember it. You know, the kid that's in their 20s is like, I have no recollection of this at all. But the parent remembered it, and they felt so much guilt inside. Like, 20 years later, they were still like, I feel so sorry I ever did that. Like, that was, like, the worst thing I did as a parent. So I think even, like, spanking and all of that stuff, like, it's not good for the person that's doing it, too. You know what I mean? Like, you hold that stuff with you. And I don't think it's good for parent or child, honestly.
And the main theme here, the most important thing I think to say is that it's always actually violence. Violence is always violence, no matter who you're committing it against.
Especially children.
Yeah.
The initiation of force is always illegitimate.
We'll be back tomorrow, 603-283-6160, if you'd like to put that in your phone, because that's the end of the show for tonight. 603-283-6160. It's been Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
I need to file my tax return right the first time. How can I be sure to do that?
Doing your taxes yourself? Using e-file is the best way to file an accurate tax return. Mistakes can delay your refund, so spend an extra few minutes making sure you can file an accurate return the first time around. Avoid common errors by spelling all names correctly and using correct Social Security numbers. Double-check your bank account numbers for direct deposit and double-check your math, too. Oh, yeah, don't forget to sign and date your return.